Would you bow with me in prayer? Most gracious God, we gather this day to remember, to celebrate, to welcome, to offer ourselves. So we pray that as all of these things take place and so much more, that your Spirit would meet us here, that you would stir and move in our midst, opening our hearts and our minds and inspiring us, that as your scriptures have been read and are now proclaimed, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, so I know the part of the state we're in, this is probably not the best question to ask. So besides myself and the LaFuses, do we have a few Purdue fans? A few? Okay, good. We're not alone. Now, some of you may remember, this goes back a few years, and apologies to those that don't follow sports, but you may remember when Kyle Orton was the Purdue quarterback, and he graduated and he went on to the NFL. When he started his NFL career, he was the third-string quarterback for the Chicago Bears. But their starting quarterback and the backup quarterback both got hurt, and Kyle became their starting quarterback. Now, he had a decent season, and I don't think his career, I don't know what he's doing now, his career wasn't real long in the NFL, but I can't imagine what it must have been to be like for in his shoes. To think, okay, you know what, I'm not even the first backup, I'm like two men down, so all right, I'm going to put my helmet and shoulder pads on, and I'm going to go sit on the bench and probably never touch the field. But suddenly he found himself starting. I have to think that for Joshua, Moses' successor to lead the people of Israel had to have felt the same way. I mean, we know who Joshua is. We hear about him, but I mean, come on, he's following Moses. Does the job get any more difficult than that? Have you ever been in a position, in a job, doing something where everybody's going to compare you to the person that came before you? I'm sure Joshua knew what it was like. People muttering behind his back, but he's not doing it the way Moses did it. Moses could part the Red Sea. Moses fed us with manna from heaven. Moses went up on the mountain and talked to God. I haven't seen Joshua do that. But the time came for the people of Israel to go into the Promised Land. And Joshua was going to be the one to get to lead them there. And we see that God has a plan that he's going to work in and through Joshua. He tells them, all right, get the people together. I know it's flood season, I know the waters in the Jordan are high, but you need to go. And it wasn't like the parting of the Red Sea, not in the same sense of it anyway. He said, I'm going to exalt you before the people of Israel in verse 7. You're the one who's going to command the priest who bear the ark. When you come to the edge of the water, you'll stand still in the Jordan. The floodwaters hadn't stopped yet. Waters are still rushing by. God didn't stop the waters and part them. He said, no, your priests they need to walk into the water. They need to step out in faith. And so Moses told him to do this. And once they entered the water, the river stopped. And the people of Israel crossed the Jordan. And Joshua stepped up. Now Joshua didn't just come from nowhere. Joshua didn't just show up and say, hey, Moses has passed on, I'll be your new leader. Joshua had been a part of this story. Joshua is one of the men that had been sent across the Jordan into the Promised Land to kind of scout it out. He was one of the men that came back and wasn't all frightened and scared, saying there are giants and stuff over there. He wasn't one that came back and said how terrible and frightening it was going to be there. He came back and said, it's great. It's everything God promised us that it would be. But before him, there was Moses. And before Moses, there were all of those people that were a part of God's plan. In the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, it talks about what faith is. And then it recounts some of the history of the people of Israel. And it goes all the way back to the beginning. It talks about, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice. This is Hebrews 11, if you're interested in looking at it later. And it goes on and talks about many of these people and pillars of faith that we encounter throughout God's story. It talks about by faith, Abraham obeyed God when he called him to set out to a new place. By faith, he and Sarah had a child. It talks about by faith, Abraham was put to the test when God asked him to sacrifice Isaac. And by faith, Moses. You see, Joshua was a part of this tradition. Joshua wasn't acting on his own, but Joshua was a part of a long story. A long succession of people who had put their faith in God. And so he had a foundation that he was working with. A foundation of faith that had been established by those who had gone before him. Established by people that he may have known of, but people he'd certainly not met. Now, it wasn't a part of our reading for this morning in Joshua where we hear of the people crossing through the Jordan. But in chapter 4 that follows up on that, says when the entire nation had finished crossing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Now select 12 men of the people, one from each tribe, and command them, go take 12 stones from the middle of the river." So the water still stopped up, still being held back by God. And he says, get 12 men, have each of them go out there, one from each tribe, and have them get as big a stone as they can, and have them bring it up here on shore and stack them up. And he said, have them do this so that this may be a sign among your people. When your children ask in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off from the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When you crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were shut off. Build a monument. Get those stones. Put them out here so that when your children come along and see them, say, what is that? You can tell them. That's when God was faithful. That's when God brought us across the Jordan into the Promised Land. Use those stones as a way to remember that God had been working through his people for generations. And he says, tell your children this. Tell the ones that are yet to come about what God has done. Today is a beautiful day of worship for us. Because as we were reading the list of names, and Curtis was reading those, and Levon and Caden were lighting the candles before us. I would imagine for many of you, the hearing of those names and these candles up here help take your memory back to those individuals that we honor and remember. The ways that they were important to you, the ways they maybe touched your life, the way that we celebrate who they were. And it may be a little bit of a difficult day, hearing the reading of Rita's name and knowing that her service is coming this afternoon, but knowing that she has touched so many people. And even thinking back across the year as we went and had all of these memorial services in the church or at a funeral home, we grieve, but we celebrate because they're a part of that tradition. By faith, Rita lived her life and served many. By faith, Loretta was a teacher for many years and touched so many lives in our community. And we could go on, and I couldn't name all of them off the top of my head. But we're thankful for their witness. And even if you didn't know them, they were a part of this community and helped this community to be what it is. And what in my mind makes this an even greater day is that in just a little while, we're going to bring our confirmation class up here, 7 students. And they have the opportunity to remember what these lives have meant, whether they knew them or not. And I also will be challenging them because generations from now, their name will one day be read. And who will be the people that look back to them and say, I'm who I am because of them? One of my favorite movies in high school was the play Dead Poets Society with Robin Williams. And there's a scene in the movie, and it's a scene where he's talking to the young men in his class. It's a boys' prep school, and he's teaching them about poetry and the importance of it. And he quotes a line from one of Walt Whitman's poems. It's a poem in Leaves of Grass titled, O Me, O Life. Now, Whitman, I understand, grew up a Quaker, but really throughout his life, his Christianity was not necessarily a driving factor for him. Some of those principles were. Whitman was more of a humanist, that things began and originated with the human person. And so it's a divergence from Christianity, but the poem asks that question that so many people ask, Christian or not. And it's basically a question about the meaning of life. And the first line of the poem says, O me, O life, of the questions of these recurring, of the endless trains of the faithless, of cities filled with the foolish. Now, Robin Williams in the movie begins reciting this poem, and he doesn't go through all of the lines, and he says that one of the things that's important about poetry is it helps us to express who we are. And he said engineering and math and science and medicine are important, but he said poetry helps us to know who we are. And he comes back to Whitman's poem, and these young men are just leaning forward, eager to hear what he has to say. And in the poem, Whitman answers his own question, this question about the meaning of life. And for Whitman, he says, here's the answer, that you are here, that life exists and identity, that the powerful play goes on, and you will contribute a verse. This may be familiar a couple years ago, Apple had an iPad commercial that showed all of these scenes of people and scenery and stuff. And in this commercial, you hear Robin Williams and the dialogue out of the movie playing over this. And as Robin Williams is telling it to these young men, he repeats that last line, that the powerful play goes on, and you will contribute a verse. And in that pregnant moment of everybody waiting, Robin Williams asked the students, what will your verse be? Now, I would take Whitman's idea from a little bit different perspective. Because for me, my approach to it would be that there is life and there is God and there is mercy and grace and there is hope and love, and this powerful play that we call life goes on and on. And as people of God, we will contribute a verse. The scriptures are full of those verses, of the lives of the faithful, of the people that sought to be in a relationship with God, that responded to that love of God in their lives and contributed a verse. And that story, that play, this life goes on, and throughout the ages, people continue to contribute a verse. Every name that we have read this morning contributed a verse. Every one of you are in the process of contributing a verse. For the young people that will be standing up here this morning, confirmation is a time for them to step up and to step forward and say, I want to take the steering wheel. I want to have a little bit of control and say in what my verse will be and what I contribute. It's a choice that we make. But by God's Holy Spirit, my prayer is that the verse that we contribute is something greater than we could ever imagine. May it not be limited by our wisdom, our ability, our strength, our insights, our understandings. May it be fueled and powered by God's Holy Spirit. And may the verse that each of us, old and young, contribute, be something that pleases God. through the confirmation process in the last couple weeks, one of the things that I ask our students to reflect on is that as they come forward in a little while and we'll go through the baptism ritual where we'll be baptizing Ava, but for all of us, it's that opportunity to remember our baptism. But when we become members of the United Methodist Church, particularly this local church, one of the questions that we and they will be asked is, will you support this local church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? I ask each of these students to respond to how they intend to support this church, their church, in those areas. And I'm not going to share all of them, but I went through and I did want to just share with you a little bit of what they have said will be a part of the verse that they contribute to the body of Christ here at Central. Caden said that he will pray for the church, for peace, for happiness, for growth, and the community. When responding to the question about how she will support the church with her presence, Ava said, "I will show up to my church as much as I can and am able to do." Jackson said that with the gifts, I will offer my service to the church. Shelby Bolser, responding to the support over the church through service, said, "I will go on mission trips and spread the word of Jesus." Regarding witness, Preston Bolser said that he's going to show people that God is loving and great. For supporting the church with prayers, LaVon Jordan said, "I will pray for my church by praying for the sick, the hurt, the poor, the sad, and the wealthy." And with presence, Luke Sheridan said, "By attending church and staying loyal to my commitments in the church, I'll take time to worship, even if I can't attend." These are just some of the thoughts that they shared. These are just some of the things that are being formulated in their lives as they think about the verse that they will contribute. But none of us in our life and in our faith stand alone. We're a part of something greater, larger, stronger than any one of us. We are a part of the body of Christ. And this powerful play goes on and on. And you will contribute a verse. What will your verse be? Amen.